In Dallas, lawyers for a Nigerian mother are gearing up for a legal battle. A federal appeals court is temporarily blocking the woman's deportation because she says she and her three-year-old daughter would be subjected to female genital mutilation if they were sent home. If her case is successful, it could open a new door to the United States for women from African countries. NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
When Philomena Nwakalo came to the U.S. 20 years ago with her husband, she came legally. But that changed when she started working in violation of her visa. She agreed to leave the U.S. in 1986. Instead, she became a pediatric nurse and had four children here. She's been fighting her deportation ever since. Nwakalo declined an interview with NPR. Morton Sklar is her lawyer. He's director of the World Organization Against Torture.
If she's deported, her three-year-old infant child will have to return with her to Nigeria. The child is a U.S. citizen. She was born in the U.S. But despite her citizenship, she would have to go with her mother to Nigeria, where she would face the very likely prospect of female genital mutilation.
In granting her a temporary stay, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals did something no appeals court has done before. It called female genital mutilation a form of torture, prohibited by the Convention Against Torture. The three-judge panel also suggested immigration officials have to consider the threat of that brutal practice to the children when it weighs whether to deport the parent. Now, that's not a new idea. The INS and immigration courts have done that in some cases. But so far, it's been informal. There's been no legal precedent to make it binding. Sklar hopes this case changes that.
It's this point that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals was particularly concerned about, that a U.S. citizen child would be put in a position of being placed at risk of serious sexual abuse because of the deportation of the mother.
The court will hear arguments on the case later this year. There's some strong language in its preliminary ruling that could give the government pause. The U.S. government, the court said, could never do to these girls in this country what the INS seems all too willing to happen to them in Nigeria. The INS wouldn't comment on the case, nor would the Executive Board of Immigration Review. The Justice Department didn't return calls. Sklar says the ruling is encouraging because U.S. refugee and asylum laws don't protect against gender-based abuse.
And so we are using the Convention Against Torture as an alternative and additional source of protection that would cover those types of problems.
But it is that thinking that disturbs Jan Ting. He's a former assistant commissioner of the INS. He says there's no question female genital mutilation is a horrible thing, even torture. But he says there's a line to be drawn between human rights and immigration policy.
What we don't want to get ourselves into is a situation where people can stay their removal from the United States simply by saying magic words.
He says those words used to be political asylum. He fears the new magic words could become female genital mutilation.
We don't want to open the door to millions of claimants, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, potentially.
Ting says Nwakalo is one reflection of the conflict in the U.S. about its immigration policy. On one hand, she's a law-abiding mother, a sympathetic face. On the other, she's one of those hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants in the U.S. who are challenging the very foundation of immigration law.
And if the answer is, well, we're going to treat them compassionately, and if there's any grounds at all for giving them a break, we're going to give them a break and let them stay here, then you don't really have a restrictive pick-and-choose immigration policy anymore. What you have is open immigration.
But Nwakalo's lawyer says he doesn't believe a favorable ruling would open the floodgates to refugees, and he says there are higher concerns.
We also have to recognize that what we're talking about is torture.
He says the INS has worked to keep the topic of gender-based abuses in a kind of legal limbo to avoid being bound by precedent. It is the prospect of precedent that is rumbling beneath the words of the Seventh Circuit's ruling, and that is what makes this case one to watch. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.